Shalom, Mishpacha, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That is family, by the way, and the radio listening family out there. We're live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as on the World Wide Web, whkwradio.com. This is the Shofar Ministries Hour. This is John Bartlett, your joyful co-host, with our Bible teacher and minister, Sheila Crawford. And let's begin tonight with a prayer. We just want to thank you, Abba, for the opportunity, the privilege of sharing your word over the airwaves and the internet. May you continue to bless this program and all of those who support it, who listen to it. And we just ask for your presence to be here tonight as we minister your word about these end times. In the name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen. Thank you, John, and welcome back to all the listeners tonight. We had 2 weeks of Cleveland State basketball here. So I guess we could say we had some R&R.
Mm-hmm.
But what a time to have done that with 8 days of rockets and missiles exchanged between Hamas and Israel in the Gaza. And now a so-called peace agreement brokered by what people are calling the president of Egypt, the Pharaoh Morsi.
Mm.
Yeah. And, of course, he's of the Muslim Brotherhood. I don't want people to forget that.
Okay.
But he's been propped up by Barack Obama and Hillary to be a peacemaker, when in reality, he's just a wannabe dictator, as he has recently given evidence of by sidestepping the Egyptian courts, declaring his office immune to judicial oversight. You probably saw that there's been some rioting in Tahrir Square.
Mm-hmm.
With no constitution to restrain him. And Morsi holds broad executive and legislative authority. He's certainly got prideful and arrogant over this Hamas deal. But I don't know how long the people will continue to rebel. But I do want to remind the listeners, too, that Morsi's wife is in their sisterhood, which is the brotherhood female part, and best friends with Huma's mom, also a sisterhood leader. Huma's brother is also in the Muslim Brotherhood. So you see, Huma is really well connected with the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well,
you're going to ask me.
I know.
You don't remember.
You keep saying Huma, Huma, Huma. Well, who is Huma? I think I know who it is, but
yeah, I think you do too.
It's
anyway,
something to do with Hillary, I think.
Yeah, it's her personal secretary.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
And very, very, very best friend and companion.
Hmm.
Some say more than she should be, but we're not gonna go there.
Mm-hmm.
But she never goes anywhere without her, and it's just amazing that after what her husband did, now who Huma is married to Representative Anthony Weiner. Now, don't be making me laugh here. But as you know, he did something awful.
Well, they're not married now, are they?
Yes, they
they're
she
still
took
married.
Him back. Oh,
oh
yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But that marriage is probably in name only anyhow.
Well, I'm confused. You know, she's still a devout Muslim.
She's devout, but we know that she has those ties to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, yeah, her mother especially, I guess, right?
Right.
Now, why would she marry a Jew?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you asked that question.
What would the attraction be there?
Well, she got special permission, and you can get special permission if and when it could help the cause of Islam by infiltrating America. And, in fact, they encourage it.
Mm.
It's sort of like being undercover.
Interesting.
Yeah, it really is interesting. Well, but and the only reason I'm talking about it is that I want our listeners to understand how this Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated America, and the Muslims have infiltrated. And even though the main purpose is that they're supposed to make you think they're moderate, you know, oh, they're great Muslims, there's good Muslims, blah, blah, blah. But when the time comes and they're called upon to stand up for Muslim, they will.
Yeah, and that's what Waleed Shoabat says, if you've ever heard him. He says they're just waiting
yes.
to be told, and they will do that. In the meantime, they're waiting on your table while you're eating out or doing whatever they're doing. And so,
mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, what about Morsi, again, the new Egypt's new pharaoh?
Yeah.
You know, here he's another dictator. We got rid of Mubarak, who wasn't even half the dictator this guy's going to be. I mean, what's Morsi going to do with these people?
That are uprising?
That are uprising, yeah. What's he going to do to them? I'm afraid he's going to do what Assad did.
Well, in my opinion, he's going to do what he has to do to stop them. And he'll mow them down if he has to.
Wow. Well, now, here's another question I have for you, Sheila, on the news. Israel stopped their war. I mean, I think they stopped it. Mm-hmm. They had 70,000 or so troops on the border of Gaza.
Probably pressured, you know.
Okay. They were poised to just go in and dismantle Hamas. And I mean, Hamas's infrastructure. And they just stopped again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That bugs me.
Well, I think they made a mistake. But again, you know, God's in control.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have liked to seen the same thing for them to go in and finish it. But they did stop. But to me, it's mm-hmm. just another hudnah.
Hudnah. Here we go. What's a hudnah? Remind me, please.
A hudnah is...
It's not a huma.
No.
Okay.
A hudnah is a space of time that gives the jihadists time to regroup, rearm, and rebuild, and they call it a hudnah.
Okay.
And any nation, in my opinion, involved in any kind of a war should finish it. I mean, it should either win or be defeated. Especially, in their case, there was really no enemies openly involved.
Well, openly, but except by proxy, of course.
Yes, definitely. But, yes, Iran through Lebanon and the Sudan actually provided most of the weapons, especially the Fajr 5. Those are those long-range ones that mm-hmm. hit Tel Aviv and a little bit of Jerusalem for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've never had them this big.
Yeah, they never had them reach clear up there. Didn't Israel take them out with the Iron Dome?
They think they got most of them, at least, but they're not sure. But now they really have to be carefully observing Iran, because they will try, Iran, to replenish them to Hamas, and they already have begun.
Mm.
I'm told through one of my readings that they actually have more weapons on ships already. On the way.
Sure, and they have the infrastructure still in place there in Gaza to deliver them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and they have tunnels from the Sudan, mm-hmm. all the way into the Sudan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, and do you remember a few weeks ago, Israel actually bombed one of the factories
in the Sudan.
They were providing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, but anyway, right now they're in a hood, and that's what it's all about. But here's what's interesting. I just found this out today.
Hmm.
Israel already has even a better defense system than the Iron Dome, and you'll never guess what it's called.
It's called David's Sling. I'm just guessing.
It is.
I'm a good guesser, aren't I?
I love the way they use, you know,
biblical names. Yeah.
And it's slingshot, you know what I mean?
I know. They still are the people of the book. I don't care what you call them. I saw, you know, in their war room,
mm-hmm.
there was a picture on the Jerusalem Post of the generals in the war room during the war, and on the wall is a plaque with a scripture on it.
Sure.
From the Psalms. I mean, like in big letters. I mean, they're...
Well, I saw one of the soldiers must have been on a quick break or something, but he had his uniform on. But over the uniform, he had his prayer shawl on with the tefillin and the phylacteries on, and he was reading the scriptures next to him, a big cannonball or whatever that is.
And also during the time, you know, during this war that we've all missed because we haven't been on the air, but I know you listeners, you know about it, the Western Wall was actually flooded with people praying.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there were thousands instead of hundreds.
You know what they're praying?
Well, they're praying
to study. Peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122.
Yeah.
Because the only way you can have peace is through their Messiah returning.
Yes.
And that's what God says. You pray for that.
And I heard,
I'll take care of the rest.
I heard that one of the rabbis spoke to these people and said, we need to be studying Torah. And I thought of you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not building bomb shelters, studying Torah. That's
yeah, really. But remember, again, they're just all falling into God's trap. Everything is the way it's supposed to be. We have to remember about Psalm 83. That was the prediction that God made through mm-hmm. David, or Asaph, I believe it was. Anyway, it's in the Psalms, Psalm 83, mm-hmm. and it's going to happen in God's timing and no one else's timing.
Yes, and we covered Psalm 83 rather well, and that's you can go back and listen to that, listener, on our broadcast that we have in the podcast section of our website. And we did about 4 weeks, actually, on Psalm 83. It's dated May through June of 2010.
Because there's a lot of details to it, actually.
Yes,
we went through each person's name and where they came from and what.
Yeah, Sheila did a lot of tracking down of where the names of the people came
right.
from and what and who they are today. And not surprisingly, they're just the same players we have on the stage right now.
That's right.
And can you just kind of give them a little hint of what they might learn by going back to that topic?
Absolutely not.
No. Well, I was hoping you could refresh us, but we'll just move on.
All right, let me think. Okay,
yeah.
In a nutshell.
Okay.
Israel's immediate neighbor enemies, you know, the ones that are right up there close?
Yeah, that border them.
Yeah.
Living within them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Those, they're situated in the areas actually promised to Abraham, seed through Isaac.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're going to lose the next war, and it's going to be the war of Psalm 83 with Israel, and then Israel's borders will be expanded, which is why you don't see any walls in Ezekiel 38's prophecy of the war of Gog and Magog. And that always perplexed me until I understood Psalm 83,
mm-hmm.
because their borders will be expanded and there won't be any walls then.
Yeah.
And the war of Gog and Magog, of course, comes later during mm-hmm. the tribulation, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fascinating study and it's all free. On our webpage.
Yeah, just go to the radio podcast, click on, and then click that date of your choice.
That's
you can
right.
listen to any of our past programs.
And then if you really get blessed and you want to bless the ministry, then you can send me a donation.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's not forget Hamas, though. I mean, they are so demonic.
Mm-hmm.
They're barbaric. They use women and children as human shields. They go in the streets and just kill anyone who looks cross-eyed at them. Now, we don't see any of this kind of stuff, but it's true.
Yes, it is.
The people are scared to death of Hamas. They are so scared that they were threatened into voting. Remember 2 years ago when the Fatah was there originally, that's who mm-hmm. Israel said, we'll give you Gaza, mm-hmm. you know, to the Fatah.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually did sign an agreement and there was some peace, but then Hamas comes in and takes over. And even though they said they were democratically voted in, they threatened the people with death.
Sure.
If they didn't get voted in.
As a matter of fact, they're known for just grabbing people off the street and
yes.
executing them right there with
drag
with
them
the gun.
In the streets and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really awful.
Yep.
But now the Fatah was pushed out, and now they're staying in the West Bank area.
And that West Bank area is actually, in the Bible, called Judea or Samaria, right?
Yes, thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah.
That's really what we should call it.
Yeah, that's
but everybody
really the
knows
West
it
Bank.
By the West Bank,
yeah.
So that's what I say. But you're right,
yeah.
Judea and Samaria.
And you will find those two areas mentioned quite often in the New Testament, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that.
And in the Old Testament, too.
And the Old Testament, too. And that's why this is Israel's land.
And on all the maps.
Yeah, and all the maps, too.
But Israel gave away Gaza for peace and got jihad in return.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you know what? We knew it would be the case.
Yep.
When is this delusion of them making peace going to
it's
make
just,
them understand?
It's just wishful thinking because all the facts plainly say that peace is not going to happen. You can't make concessions
they
with
can't.
Hamas.
Muslims cannot make peace.
No.
They'll pretend for a mm-hmm. little while, and that's so they can regroup and get their arms back up, but mm-hmm. there's no way that they will allow the Israel to live there under peace ever,
mm-hmm.
ever.
And that's the reality. So these public policy makers need to like wise up and say, okay, let's deal with the reality of this. I hope that happens. We pray that happens.
Not until Jesus comes.
But, you know, we saw it happen again. They succumbed, yeah. Israel succumbed to the pressure of the world and, or maybe just United States, I don't know, and stopped. Stop the operation pillory.
Right, because Christmas is coming. Bob didn't want to have to work.
Oh, right.
He's probably going to Hawaii again. I don't know.
It was called
Did you know they bought a house there? Now he doesn't have to use it for 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway. That's
How much did that cost?
Just lots. Asking. Really. Lots, lots, lots.
Just asking. Wow.
Well, anyway, armed confrontations continue in the almost two-year uprising against President Assad in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps getting worse, but little reporting is allowed. But we do know some things.
Mm-hmm.
That yesterday, these rebels, which, by the way, are not really civilians, they are Muslim Brotherhood as well, just like they were in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
They put on other clothes and make you think they're just civilians, but they riot. They get riled up. Excuse me. They rile up some of the regular citizens as well.
Mm-hmm.
But
so they're operatives.
Mostly, it's
mm-hmm.
the Muslim Brotherhood. They have an agenda.
Yes.
But anyway, just yesterday, Syrian rebels destroyed Assad's very important electronic warning radar station called the M1. And that's the one that faces Israel. So this has crippled, though not completely dismantled, but crippled Assad's ability to go to war against Israel, Jordan, or even Saudi Arabia. Not that they would right now, but he knows that he can't. And Hezbollah has lost its primary source of intelligence for an anti-Israel offensive because of this
that radar
downing of
station?
The M1. Yeah, there's still an M2 and an M3. But
interesting. Very strategic radar station.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
And it's just the beginning. I mean, we're getting ships all around Syria now. It looks like we're going to be doing something. And, you know, that's what that Benghazi thing was all about. We were giving arms to the Syrian rebels, to the Muslim Brotherhood. I know we were. Gun running is what they call it.
Yeah. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is I'm hoping that truth comes out about Benghazi. I know that they interviewed Rice today, but it was a closed door, so I haven't heard yet, you know, what happened.
Well, it was treasonous what happened there, and that was that how many Navy SEALs did we lose in that
three.
Effort? Three.
Plus the ambassador.
Three very loyal, valuable Navy SEALs and the ambassador.
Right.
And, excuse me, I recall at the time we were talking about this in the news.
Yes, I reported it.
You reported this, and you felt that you thought it was kind of a cover-up, that the whole thing may have been a kidnapping gone haywire, and the kidnapping was to be an exchange. You know, we were going to let them kidnap the ambassador and then have a prisoner exchange with the blind sheik.
Later, yes. The Muslim Brotherhood have wanted the blind sheik released for quite some time, and they've been pressuring Obama to do it, but he said, I got to have a reason.
Yes.
So I believe, and now this is heavy stuff, and I'm just telling you what I think, and I'll tell you why I think it, but I think that he actually gave them permission to go in and kidnap him, which is why he wouldn't let the SEALs go in, and that he kept saying, or somebody told them to stand down.
Stand down, yeah.
Right, but then it went awry, and it ended up that they got killed, and so did the SEALs, because they went in there.
Well, you and the Admiral Lyons, retired, have the same
Correct.
Opinion, I found
Correct.
Out, that he came out actually after you had said this, and this is weeks
That's
after,
right.
I think.
You can go to the search engine on the web and look up retired Admiral, I can't remember his first name, but his last name was Lyons, Lyons.
And he said the exact same thing you did.
He believes that it was.
Mm-hmm.
So.
He actually really thinks it is, so I guess. Is what
he said there's no doubt.
There's
in
no
mind.
Doubt in his mind.
Yeah.
That's what it was. So I thought that was a pretty good call, and that's a good reason to, you know, why
but
we have.
But in my opinion, this would be enough to impeach Obama if it comes out. But it's not going to, just because it never does. I mean, the truth never, that kind of truth just keeps hidden until
Well,
whatever.
We keep getting deceived because deceivers always get deceived.
I know. I'm not deceived, though. I know the...
Yes, and we pray that we don't get deceived, and that's why we like to stay in the Word.
Well, that's the only way we can avoid deception.
Yes. These are the days where deception is just really in a...
Number one.
Number one thing. Number one sign of the last days, deception.
Oh, by the way, I just wanted to mention that I just found out today that the king of Saudi Arabia is actually dead. He is on life support, so he's clinically dead as of today, so... that's really something, because who knows who's going to take over there. But again, this Muslim Brotherhood is just moving in, and they're starting on Jordan. They have been now for quite some time, and Jordan knows it's just a matter of time. He's going to be out of there soon, too. It's just a given.
Yeah. Wow.
But anyway, I wanted to also mention that just today, a joint Turkish-NATO team began making a site survey for the deployment of Patriot air and missile defense systems. Now, this is going to be manned by American military teams. Okay, what am I saying? That they're actually staking out a place to put a defense system up on the Turkish border, probably, and we are going to be there helping.
Interesting.
Because of Syria, against Syria. Now, we are saying this for defensive purposes only. But sounds like they are expecting some retaliation from Assad, especially since taking out the M1 yesterday.
Oh, it could be. And then those chemical weapons they possess.
Well, that's the retaliation they're worried about.
Yeah. And this may, impede Assad in, kind of cut him off at the pass before he does
I would think that he would be more cautious. But who knows?
Who knows? Only God knows. That's why we trust him. Well,
we do.
Sheila, we should really finish tonight's news with someone in Hollywood.
Oh, I think that would be interesting.
A well-known Hollywood name just said something very, very controversial before the whole country, I guess.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah.
I can hardly believe it, but his name is Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, and I can't believe it's Jamie Foxx.
And at some kind of an awards banquet. I don't know when it was, maybe last week, called Barack Obama our Lord and Savior. And it's on YouTube. If you don't believe me, go there. Jamie Foxx, Lord and Savior. It'll come right up for you. You can watch it yourself.
My guess is that he was joking, but even if he was joking.
You just don't do that.
It's called blasphemy.
It's blasphemy,
It is blasphemy, yeah. But I'm not praying to Obama. I'm praying for him. But now that he's back in, there's a lot of talk now about voter fraud, of course, and they're going to, what do you think about that? I mean, everybody says voter fraud that loses. The losing side always says voter fraud.
Yeah, I know, and the left is really saying ha ha ha, but I do think there was some, a little bit here, a little bit there, but it all adds up. But when you've got precincts like in Ohio and Pennsylvania that reported greater than 100% of registered voters turned out to vote,
how does that work?
That doesn't work.
Mathematically, that does not work.
And then 100 precincts in Ohio, Obama got 99% of the votes? That's impossible. And Pennsylvania illegally removed Republican poll inspectors from voting locations. And computer irregularities reverted to a default Obama vote no matter who the voter selected. And Florida prevented absentee ballots from being observed by neutral observers. And military ballots were systematically denied to active duty servicemen and women around the world.
Active duty.
Yeah.
Active duty, not allowed to vote.
Yeah. So.
That's.
And what's interesting is that he knew he was winning. He was going to win. Mm-hmm. He had the arrogance that morning, instead of doing last minute campaigning like Romney did. He went and played golf or something.
Yeah.
It's like he just knew. And then he even congratulated Romney on a great campaign. And it was early in the morning.
Anyway.
So enough of the news. We've exhausted it. Being gone for 2 weeks, I just thought we should catch up. Next week, we won't spend so much time, I hope, unless something big happens this week. And the way things are going, it could very well be.
It could very well be. But in between then and now, I guess this Thursday, you will be at Lakeshore Assembly of God in Mentor, Ohio.
I will be.
And what are you going to talk about?
Hanukkah.
Okay. You're in a church talking about Hanukkah. We'll be praying for you. Lakeshore Assembly of God, Mentor, Ohio. That's at 8880. That's 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard. And she'll be there at 7 p.m. And come out. Join her.
Please do.
Yeah, it's an open forum assembly, and bring your questions with you. We have the phone lines open right now. If you have an end time question, don't hesitate to call in. The number is 888-677-WORD. And if you're kind of shy and you don't really want to be on the air, just tell our producer, Derek, and he'll just give it to your question to us to read, and we'll read it over the air.
Yes, he will.
So don't be shy. It's 888-677-WORD, WORD. Okay? That's easy.
Okay, let's go to a break.
Okay. And we're supposed to do this, remember? He said.
Yes.
Okay.
And we'll be back real soon after a song from you, John.
Yes. So stay with us.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. As one of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray, and I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song was Sparrow in the Meadow by yours truly, the co-host of Shofar Ministries Hour, John Bartlett, and that's me.
And it was a good one, too.
And Sheila likes that song. And
I do.
I do, too. Do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like her to speak at your church or group? You may email her at sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the office, 440-834-9006. Some very important reminders. Your donations are still tax-deductible and very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. How vital? Well, we have expenses, paper, ink, comes to mind, computer maintenance, online expenses,
laptops,
research,
renewal fees,
research materials, and I guess a lot of our
postage,
news, our computer, our internet news services now are starting to charge money.
Yes.
And
yes.
Yeah.
If I want to get good news, I have to pay for it now.
That's right. Otherwise,
so anyway, anything will help.
Anything. Send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021, or use PayPal on our website. All donations will put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your address, either the email or the house address, okay?
Yes. Email is easier for me, of course, and it's a little less expensive.
Yes, it is. We save on ink there. Be sure to check out our webpage where all newsletters and previous radio shows are archived, and you may order teaching DVDs there as well. And again, a reminder, the lines are open. The numbers for your last day's questions, 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Shofar Ministries Hour is live here every Tuesday at 8 p.m. And why not recommend this program to a friend? Give me one good reason why you wouldn't. There is no good reason. And also, if you're out there and you're listening, if you're in the Willoughby, Mentor, Painesville area, well, we'll say Lake County. How's that?
Yes.
Yeah. Mark your calendars for this Thursday because Sheila will be speaking on the subject of Hanukkah at Lakeshore Assembly, which is at 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard in Mentor. Okay, are we ready to continue after I said all those eights? That was a lot of eights.
Let's start on Hanukkah, and next week we'll do more because there's no way we'll get through all these notes, but
there's
we've got
a fragment,
couple weeks.
There's a fragment of the news that you didn't mention that I thought you would.
Thank you for reminding me. That is?
That was just a fragment. No, it's just one little thing. But
this is just one little thing, and Pastor Sanders is here, and he reminded me about this painting that I just seen today, also on the Internet, for thousands of dollars. But it's a painting of Obama hanging on a cross with thorns on his head.
Mm.
And again, you can find it. Just go on the web.
Well, see, it's obvious that people don't want the real God. They want to make a God for themselves.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I'm sure President Obama saw that. I don't know if he would like that, I don't think.
Well, I would hope he wouldn't, but who knows anymore.
Well, okay.
Yes. Okay, let's go.
Okay, remember, God is still in control. Just as he was in the days of the Maccabees.
That's right.
When the story of Hanukkah began. So let me ask you, Sheila, is Hanukkah for Christians?
Hugely so.
Hugely so.
Yes. And how wonderful, wouldn't it be great if we could just replace Santa with the menorah? And kids would get one present every day for 8 days.
Well, yeah, granted one day might only be some chocolates or a pair of socks or something, but hey, it's really, what is the thing? It's the menorah that's so important, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that.
Cool.
Actually, we're going to talk about a lot of details about Hanukkah over the next few weeks.
Okay, good.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But Hanukkah begins on the Jewish calendar every year on Kislev 24 at sundown, which would, of course, be the next day because their days start at sundown, the 25th. But that's a week from Saturday, December 8th, which is the lighting of the first candle. And, of course, each night another candle is lit.
For 8 days. And, of course, this date will change. It'll still be the 25th of Kislev next year.
On the Jewish calendar.
On the Jewish calendar, but it'll kind of float around on our calendar.
Right, as do all the others.
Yes, as all the others. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to dig into the meat of Hanukkah a little further than most because... Well, first of all, that's what I like to do. I just don't like to stay surfacey, but I try to make it so that it's not too difficult. I hope that I succeed in that. But you will soon see that it really does have a huge meaning for Christians.
Wow.
But let's begin with the menorah, which has seven branches of oil lamps originally. Okay. Now, the menorah is seven, but the Hanukkah candle has nine. Or 8 plus 1, 8 days plus 1 as a servant. And we'll talk about that as well. But it plays a vital role in the celebration of Hanukkah. Now, a detailed description can be found in Exodus 25, 31 through 40. But, John, could you give a brief synopsis of those verses where God told Moses how to craft a menorah? Which, by the way, menorah is the Hebrew word for lampstand. And it's sometimes referred to as the candlestick. However, candles were not yet invented.
Mm-hmm.
We will therefore keep more properly to the description of lampstand.
Okay, so let me tell you that the lampstand actually stood on the south side of the holy place. Now, we're talking about the tabernacle.
If you walk in, that's the left, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're walking in, it's on the left. And it was a work of art. It was made out of one solid piece of gold, 75 pounds of pure gold. That was a talent of gold.
Yes, one talent weighs about 75
pounds. 75 pounds.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It had three pairs of branches that sprang from a central shaft, and that rose straight from a base. And all the branches terminated in sockets at the same height. And can you get a picture of this? Into which the lamps were placed. So you got this row of lamps here.
It's too bad they can't see your arm moving like
that.
Yeah,
I wish they could. All of you, okay, now. The ornamentation of the lampstand was a very beautiful design using almond flowers, buds, and blossoms, you know, leaves and petals and things like that. Very beautiful piece of work. The lamps, each were set in a place so that they shed light to the front. And the size of the lampstand, I guess, we really don't know how big it was, but they do say there's
big.
There's a little room for conjecture. But Jewish tradition says it's a height of about 5 feet and the width of about 3.5 feet. And that would be pretty large.
Yes, I would say so.
Mm-hmm. So isn't that? It's about the best I can do with that.
No, you did very well. Thank you. Let's talk about that middle shaft. And it's called the Ner Elohim, meaning lamp of God, or the Shamus, meaning servant lamp. This is the middle one.
Mm-hmm.
And every morning, the priests were to enter the holy place. Now, that's first the outer court, then the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies. So this is in the middle. To replace the used oil in the bowls. And if any lights had gone out, they would relight them immediately from the servant lamp, which, by the way, miraculously stayed lit always. It never went out. And that's according to the Talmud, Yoma 43, verse 3.
Well, that was a commandment, too, in Leviticus for them to do that. They were not to let that light go out. It's supposed to be a ner tamid, which means an eternal flame, actually.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Now, these seven branches was designed by God himself and has never been polluted for pagan purposes, as so many other things have.
You mean like symbols?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you mean like the cross? And even the Star of David, if it has a circle around it, right?
It can be used for cultish purposes.
For cultish.
Yeah.
Cultish,
but never the menorah.
I've never seen that.
No.
Never
Mm-mm.
seen that.
I have a menorah that I wear, and I love
know.
It.
I think it's beautiful. You have one in your office, I think. Somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I have a couple in my office.
Yeah.
And I wear one around my neck.
I mean, we should say replicas, yeah. And it's a very beautiful symbol.
Yeah. Well, and then when I read Revelation and I seen the real meaning of the menorah, which we're going to share with the people tonight,
that's a goodie.
But here it comes. Let me point out. Before getting into the history of Hanukkah, that in Revelation chapter 1, John has a vision of Jesus, and he sees Jesus standing in the midst of seven golden lampstands.
Mm-hmm. And their lampstands means?
Well, it tells you in verse 20, it explains it, that it, the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches, which he will proceed to tell them about. And which, by the way, at the end of the church age, John in chapter 4 describes how he's been called up to God's throne, and the seven lamps are up there as well. So here we have the seven lamp stands representing the seven churches. And the only reason it's seven is because it represents the complete church age. Seven is a number of completion. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go into that more in just a minute. But we see in chapter 4 that these lampstands are now in heaven when John went up there as well.
So if the lampstands are the church, then the church is in heaven. Well, and this is all before chapter 6.
Right.
And that's when the seals are
four at. Does come before 6, John.
Yes, this is all before. Thank you for that.
Yes.
But, I mean, that's when the tribulation actually starts in chapter 6.
Yes, it really does.
So here we have all these lampstands
that
represent the church, and they're up in heaven.
Yes.
Now, wouldn't that be kind of like a picture of the rapture?
He's trying to tell us something. He's giving us all these clues, and yet we still have people in the church that are saying, no, we're going to be staying down here.
And that's just one of maybe hundreds.
Oh yeah, there's
of
lots
clues,
of clues,
and that's
we've
just
been
a,
through all those, and those are all on my webpage, by the way, titled "The Rapture."
And the seven branches, and the number of churches, and it's a number of completion, and that's a whole different teaching, and we have that archived too.
Well, that's right. So let me explain that the menorah has the seven branches representing the prophetic application of the seven churches, because when you take each church in the order that it's written in Revelation 2 and 3, it actually gives the historic application of the church age.
Well, I found out where you can just go to our program archived on our web dated 7/24/10.
Mm-hmm.
That's for the teaching of the seven churches. You'll find that. That's 7/24/10.
It's really amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I wish we could do it right now. It's so amazing. But
yes, it is.
Yeah, check it out. It's each church, when taken in order, goes into more years. You know, I've even gotten the years written down. You know, Ephesus being the first one, and then Sardis, and what years that was. And it's just amazing.
It is cool, because they had an immediate application for the time that they were written, and they have a prophetic. Like, so much of the Bible
That's
is like
correct.
That. So much of prophecies like
That's
that.
Correct. Yeah. And then it talks about the Laodicean church, and oh boy, is that here.
Well.
So anyway, the menorah represents how the church, because of Jesus, is the light unto the world.
And you don't
Amen.
You don't take that lamp and set it under a bushel, do you?
Well, Israel's coat of arms seal includes the menorah surrounded by two olive branches, and it's based on the vision of Zechariah 4, so Israel says. But, John, what do you think, then, the olive tree is a type of, if the menorah represents?
Well, according to my favorite chapter in Romans, it's Romans 11, it's actually Judaism.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the menorah's in the middle
is
of
the
olive tree.
Of the olive tree, and that's our Hebrew roots.
Yes.
We're grafted into the olive trees as
that's right.
wild branches. So if you're looking at the seal.
But I think that's just so amazing that Israel would even have that, not knowing that the menorah is the church. And if they knew, they wouldn't have put it there, I'll tell you that.
Well, you say that, and they didn't know, but, you know, we have the book of Revelation, right?
Yes.
And so there you have Jesus explaining that the menorahs are the churches.
Yeah.
And here, back in the old days, they had the menorah, but they weren't exactly sure. Positive what it represented. Obviously light, but...
And I suppose in their way, they were to be a light to the world also.
Well, absolutely.
You know,
They were it for that time.
So we're together, the olive tree and the menorah.
And the menorah. So that's a good sign.
We're a package deal.
Okay.
So anyway, you know what? Now's the time to just stop for a second, though, and reflect on what we've just all said.
Yes.
Because I got to ask you out there, those that are listening, is your light shining? That's the question. You know, light is meant to be shared. And as you said, John, already, not hidden under a bushel or a bed, if you want to say that. Mark 4:21 talks about that. But we are that temple. We are the temple of God. So we are the temple of the light, just like in the olden days that temple housed the menorah. We are that menorah inside a temple. That lampstand that Revelation 1:20 says we are. Are you defiling that temple like that wicked Antiochus Epiphanes did? With idols in your life where darkness is encompassing the light, soon to extinguish it? Oh, church, you've got to repent. Revive yourself. So to overcome the dark forces of these very, very dark, and I believe last days, wake up, start witnessing, be that evangelist you're supposed to be.
Get that light from out from underneath that bushel. Sheila, don't you agree that the bushel in Mark 4 could represent the cares of this life?
Yeah.
And then Luke speaks of these could be idols, right?
Yes.
Or, you know, idols. And what is an idol?
Anything that gets in the way of having your time alone with God, spending time in His Word. And the cares of this life is huge because it takes precedence over spending time with Jesus, who is the author of your light. These other things consume a person, and then therefore his or her light is eclipsed.
Wow. And that's sad.
Very
that is sad.
Sad.
So we can, how do we get our light burning again like it should be?
It's the Word.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Word. It's the Word.
It's the Word. It's the Word. And I see that menorah is a wonderful image. And I think when we pray, we lift our hands and we spread out our hands, like it says. And
mm-hmm.
you, if anyone's been to Shofar Assembly knows
yeah.
that that is making a sheen, which is, stands for El Shaddai. But it also, I'm seeing like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm seeing a menorah here, too, mm-hmm. as my hands are lifted
I
up.
See.
If you
sure.
count my head in the middle as,
sure.
as the shamash.
Well, there's a lot of typology.
Yeah,
there's
there
no
is.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
But remember the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31:18, where it says, whose candles goeth not out by night?
Hmm.
That just didn't mean, you know.
That doesn't mean she bought extra long candles. So
I mean,
work
it could
later.
Probably mean literally, I suppose, but.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's talking about she was, you know, a virtuous woman who didn't let her light go out. And that's a picture for us. Our light should never go out.
Yes.
Ever, even when we're sleeping.
And that virtuous woman, that word for virtuous is actually chayo, and that means, in Israel today, that means soldier. So she was a real soldier.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
She was a soldier.
But Jesus said in Revelation 2:5, to the first church at Ephesus who had lost their first love, to repent, or he would remove their lampstand out of its place. That's how important it is to stay close to Jesus. Don't let that light go out. Keep it burning all the time, and it's through the Word of God that you're going to be able to do that.
Yeah, you might find yourself in great darkness if you don't keep that lit.
That's right.
I think that's what it's saying there.
Okay.
Hmm.
By the way, Hanukkah was celebrated in Jesus' day.
Of course.
The scriptures say so. It's recorded in John 10:22 that Jesus was in the temple during the Feast of Dedication. Well, if you know, Hanukkah means dedication in Hebrew.
That's right.
Okay. But I like the way John specifically says it was in the winter.
Yes.
So therefore, and we'll be teaching on this,
mm-hmm.
that it was the lesser Feast of Lights because the greater Feast of Lights is celebrated in the fall.
Mm-hmm. And I know what that is. That's called the Feast of Tabernacles. And
yes.
you can learn more about that on their website as well.
There's a wealth of information
wealth
on the webpage.
Wealth of information. In
I hope you take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
And John,
yes.
do you make any connection to the fact that Jesus picks this season to claim his deity openly for the first time? Now, most people don't catch that, but when you read the whole chapter,
yes,
you will see it, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah, I do make a connection, and I know we're going to be talking about this.
Next week for sure.
Next week for sure.
Yeah, we are.
So, definitely our Lord and Savior went up for it. Now, you won't find Hanukkah in Leviticus 23. Why not? Because it hasn't happened yet.
Correct. This was intertestament time,
mm-hmm.
but Jesus said to pay attention to it, or at least he made sure that John mentioned it, that
mm-hmm.
he went into the temple during Hanukkah.
Right.
And next week when we come back, we're going to talk more specifically about why Hanukkah is so important
and
why he said that he was God.
And why, as Christians, that we need to be...
We need to recognize
Hanukkah. We need to recognize Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I understand the Christmas thing, because every day is Christmas in my heart anyway. It doesn't. The day doesn't matter. The fact is that he was born does. But I believe in my heart that he was born during the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you count back 280 days, the normal time of gestation,
mm-hmm.
you come to the eighth day of Hanukkah when the Holy Spirit probably incarnated Mary
mm-hmm.
with Jesus. I'm sure of it, actually, and we'll go into more details next week.
Okay.
So we're going to have to close.
We're going to have to wrap it up here. I'm going to wrap it up by asking you, listener, is Jesus Lord over your whole life?
Oh, yes, is he?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of us just have a head knowledge, or we have him in a compartment. Some of us are compartmentalized. Your life is, you want God in this part of your life, and maybe you want him in that part of your life, but, oop, don't want God over here, not in this part of my life. Let's get him. Once you surrender all to him, and get him in every compartment of your life. Just repent, turn from the sin that you know that you're doing and ask God to forgive you.
Yes.
And Jesus and will give you the Holy Spirit, will come into you and bear witness with your spirit, and you will know that you were born again. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Call on him. Ask him for his mercy on your life. Admit that you've sinned, and he will forgive. He's a merciful God. Do it now. There's coming a time when it's going to be so dark that that decision will be nearly, not impossible, but nearly impossible to make. So we hope you make that decision for yourself.
We hope you do.
Mm-hmm. And when you've done that, you're ready to go fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and make disciples. Tell one person a day that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his sheep.
That's right.
He's the great shepherd, and his sheep are still out there. It's not we don't know who they are, but if you don't tell anybody, you know,
that's right.
We'll never find out.
Amen.
And I want to mention, too, that just one more plug here for Lakeshore Assembly this Thursday. Be there. Learn more about Hanukkah firsthand from our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Join us. And then, again, we'll be back next Tuesday at 8 p.m. And if you want to give us the Aaronic blessing,
okay.
And this is actually, explain where we get this prayer.
This prayer is from back in Numbers, I believe. And this is where the high priest would put the name of God on the people. Yevrecha ka Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha.
And that says, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next Tuesday, Sha'alu Shalom
Yerushalayim.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Those who love her, Jerusalem shall prosper.
Not maybe. Psalm 122, verse 6. Till next week. Shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.